Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I'm Noah, and I am with...
Kayla.
Yeah, it's summertime, and the living's easy.
It feels like summertime.
Yeah, it's definitely a different summer, which I feel like everyone kind of knows, because, like, with the whole COVID situation... But even just, like, the weather, it's finally just so nice.
Oh, I disagree. I don't know how it is where you live, mm-hmm. But it is so hot here.
But that's nice.
No, it's not.
It's been, like, 90. It's summer.
No.
I don't want to be cold.
Is it humid where you are?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but I like it because it's always so cold here for, like, 6 months. It's like our winter is probably like 6 months long. So anytime the weather's over 70 is like a blessing from the heavens.
Okay.
And that could be global warming. But, you know, we're going to ignore the scary fact behind it. And I'm just going to accept that the weather. I love,
like,
nice weather.
Here's the thing. It's just been a little too hot. I can handle low 80s to mid 80s. It's been super humid here, though.
Right.
But, like,
I mean,
when
yeah.
it's 95 for the majority of the day and you can't
mm-hmm.
even, like, go outside, like, to do
mm-hmm.
anything, that's where it gets me. Because it's like, I would love to go for a bike ride or a walk or a hike, like, anything where I'm not dying.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there have been days where it's been, like, overwhelming, but, like, honestly... Like I said, it's never warm here. So I love even if I'm inside with the air conditioning blasting, I just like the idea of knowing that it's really nice outside or really warm. That means that with summer, we like to watch some more summery movies.
Yeah,
I feel like
everyone
kind of has this. I mean, it might not be as like specific as seeking out movies set in summer, but you're definitely not wanting to watch movies set in like the fall and winter, so it usually ends up being one set like in a nice sunny location, gives you some summer feelings, and that's what we're talking about today. Summer movies. It's a different it's not really a genre, I guess, but it's almost like it's like a genre every person can define for themselves, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like everyone has a different opinion on what makes something feel summery, and that's going to translate to like what they watch.
I think we both define summer movies a little bit differently just based on our picks. So how would you define a summer movie? Like, what makes a summer movie
mm-hmm.
for you?
I don't want to give away too many of my definitions because I get into them a lot more when I get into the movies I picked, but I feel like it's just like it's got to feel like summer.
Yeah, but what does that mean? What does feel like summer mean?
It's got to feel laid back. It's got to feel low-key. It's got to have good music. I feel like all three movies I picked have some different version of good music, whether it's like pop music or whether it's even just in the score. I feel like that's a big proponent. I think it's less, too, about a movie being set during the summer. And it's more just like how the movie, what feeling I get from the movie, whether it's from the cinematography or the sound design or even like the overall pacing of the plot.
Okay.
And like I said, it's hard to give away too much because I don't want to give away all my picks, but I'll get into more stuff when we go there. What about you?
I think for me, most of the time, they're like coming of age films. So most of the time they include younger people, like summer after high school, you know, they're on summer vacation. You gotta have warm tones. Usually there's gonna be a swimming scene, either at the pool, at the beach. Fireworks, you know, the whole nine yards.
Right, yeah.
People wearing swimsuits, putting on sunscreen. Usually, like, there's music in a lot of the ones I like.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Music is a key component. It's very, like, you know, kids riding on bikes and drama, people getting mad at each other, building relationships over the summer. Lots of romance.
Yeah.
There's usually going to be, like, a romance scene, either with, like, supporting characters or the main characters.
Okay. It seems like we definitely, like you said, we definitely have different... I think you're a lot... Seems like you feel a lot more like you need the, like, a lot more setting, if I'm getting that right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's about where it is and how that makes you feel. Like, usually it's not where you live. Like,
That's true.
It's usually, like, you're going somewhere, or it's about getting out of the house. It's about,
especially now.
Doing stuff with your friends, you know, you're growing up and, like, getting away from your family and, like, feeling like you're taking steps into the world, trying to figure life out, figure yourself out.
So coming of age, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is, it's also, like, not in the sense that, like, a lot of coming of age movies are set in school time. So it's, like, they usually have, like, school drama.
Well, it's like a summer coming-of-age movie.
Yeah, so it's the whole, you know, they spend it with their friends and then, or, like, go on a vacation, and then by the end, like, they go back to school and they're, like, a different person. And everyone's like, wow. And it's not just the, like, wow, you're so much tanner. It's like, well, that may be true. It's also like, wow, you've grown up a lot in the 3 months that... You know, and you spent over the summer.
Yeah, I have, I think, one of my movies I feel like can fall under a lot of that kind of that category. I feel like a lot of my honorable mentions do more so. Like, I mean, Call Me By Your Name is, like, a classic summer movie that is more recent. Just, like, the overall setting, obviously, and the music, like we were saying, and the color palette. Another one that's more recently that I had in honorable mentions was Summer 1993, which reminded me a lot of like a Florida Project more, but like less about the parents being, it was just a lot, I don't know, it just was a lot more from the child's perspective, and she was like 7 or 8 or something.
Right.
And I think those movies are, that's definitely a theme, because with summer, you always kind of want to feel a little more carefree, I think, and the best way to show the idea of being carefree is through, like, a kid, because that's what they're all about.
Yeah. No worries in the world except being accepted by their peers.
Well, yeah, exactly. And with that, maybe you should get into your first pick.
Well, do we want to read some of our honorable mentions off first before we get into our 3 summer picks?
Yeah, I mean, I already read a couple off. Why don't you read off some of yours? You have some good ones.
Yeah, so I've got... I mean, these are all, like, pretty similar. Maybe, like, one that's a little bit different is That Thing You Do. It just feels, like, very upbeat, very happy, very fun. But, yeah, the other ones are, like, Stand By Me, The Parent Trap, What About Bob, The Florida Project. Like, very... focused on change and, like, becoming who you are and making, like, big life decisions that will impact the future.
Good picks. I already gave a couple of mine. I think Call Me By Your Name, like I said, is, like, one that everyone would kind of think of, especially because it's more recent. One movie I saw recently called The Swimmer with Burt Lancaster was really good. The ending was a little underwhelming, but it's kind of, like, it's very metaphorical. It's, like, set in the late 60s, and it's like Burt Lancaster, like he charts out a course across, like, all his friends in California, and the ones that have pools, and he's like, I'm gonna swim my way home. And so he charts his way home through all his friends' pools, and, like, he swims through the pool, and it's but he has all different interactions with people that are at the pool. Very weird, but it was definitely enjoyable. I also have Wet Hot American Summer, which is, like, a classic.
Yeah, pinnacle.
Yeah, I mean, Do the Right Thing, which is one of, I mean, I think this one and my first pick that I have are my two favorite examples of cinematography playing a big part in the setting the tone of a summer movie. And then I also have one I saw more recently, which was called Everyone Else, directed by, her name is Marin A-D-E, Ade, I guess you would say. But I know she's it's a foreign director, so I don't know if it's like, that's the American pronunciation. But that one is more just like a couple that's at like one of their friends' summer homes. And it's about their relationship kind of falling apart throughout the summer. And by the end of the summer, they're like basically... I don't think they say that they break up, but you know they're gonna break up after the summer. It's a good movie. But with that said, I think we should get into the three ones we picked, which these aren't to say like these are better than the ones in the honorable mentions. I think it's just like, I don't know. It's just the ones that I wanted to talk about, maybe.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Okay, I'll go first. Let's talk about Mamma Mia.
All right, exclamation point.
Mamma Mia!
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, so I didn't actually watch this film for the first time until, like, maybe last summer. And I know people love this movie, and then we had the sequel, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again! And people love that movie as well. And so it was this big hype that I felt like I was missing out on. So I watched it last summer, and I was like, don't know if I love this or not. But the thing is, it makes you feel a certain way. So even if I don't, like, I'm not 100% sold on this movie. Like, right. It's not my favorite movie. It's not, like, something I think about all the time. And I'm like, this is a masterpiece. I don't think anyone does,
yeah.
Some people do. Some people really...
But I think a lot of people like this because it's, like, a really great form of escapism. That's what most people say. And so what that feels like is, like, when you watch it, you're fully engrossed to me. But when you're not watching it, it's, like, not something that is meant to, like, keep you thinking for long periods of the time. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, for me, between, like, this and Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, I just was like, Greece, Greece, Greece. I don't want to go to Greece. And so anytime I, like, think about Greece, which is pretty often, especially now since I definitely can't go anywhere.
Right.
I, like, think about this movie and kind of want to live, even though, like, basically none of it was shot on location, I'm still, like, you know, it's just the way it makes you feel. Like, you watch it and they, you know, they're on a boat, they run around barefoot, they put on their swimsuits and go swimming in the nice, beautiful blue water, and they're singing, it's... got drama here, drama there, but it's also, like, very uplifting. It makes you smile. Like, they've got these big musical numbers that are fun. It's very, very, very warm-toned. Like, the classic tan and blue, like, that's what gets my summer feels going. But I will say, I did watch it again this week because I have it. Bought it at a thrift store for, like, 50 cents.
Wow.
And I watched it with the director's commentary, and I think that added a little more weight to it for me, as usually does, because you're hearing about kind of what was going through their mind, different things. But it was definitely really cool to hear about kind of the people who were in it and the different, like, places that they went to, and then how they shot, like, a lot of the stuff in a studio, but still achieved the sort of, like, warm summer aspect, even with, like, studio lighting. So, yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, I think this is definitely just, like, out of the three we've picked, I think this is probably the biggest crowd pleaser choice. Well, we've picked six in total. My bad. But yeah, I think this is definitely, like, the biggest one where it will please a lot of different viewers in different ways, you know. But yeah, good pick. Anything else you wanted to say before we move on?
Yeah, I just think it's one that, like you said, like, basically anyone can watch this movie and not hate it. You know, like, you can watch it and have a good time, and maybe you're having a summer party, and, like, everyone knows the music, so it's, like, you could just put it on and, like, not totally focus, but, like, people will sing along and just enjoy the good time.
So, your first pick, Mamma Mia! Exclamation point. So, on a complete 180, my first pick is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the 2019 film from Quentin Tarantino. This, I think, gives a lot of what I feel like a summer movie is. So I feel like I said, they're less about being set during the summer and more about the overall feeling of the film. And so, like, a lot of movies will set themselves in summer to portray that feeling best. But for me, like, I don't think it's a qualifier, because this movie is, the majority is set in February. And you would not know that unless, like, I don't even know if they specifically say it in the film. They probably do at some point. But, like, I feel like if you just showed someone a scene from the film, that's not when they would place it. And that's because it was, like, in California, sunny, and it looks all nice and sunny. And I think that this movie is just, it gives off such a coolness to summer. And, like, the coolness of a summer movie, you've got the great color palette with the warm tones, the 60s rock jams on the radio, characters cruising down the Hollywood Boulevard. It's like the ultimate hangout movie. You're just along for the ride. And, I mean, that's kind of what summer feels like sometimes. And it's, like, nothing crazy goes on in the film. There's definitely some subplots, some different things. There are a lot of different things going on. But it's more just about showing you this world and just letting you live in it for, like, 2.5 hours. And I feel like, kind of like I said with Do the Right Thing, I think that it's probably the best, some of the best use of, like, color palette and cinematography to show, like, heat. And while I'm watching this, I saw this twice in the theater last year, and both times it felt like almost like a 4D movie, because, like, the power of the images on the screen was making me, like, almost, it made me feel like I was sweating, even though the movie theater was air conditioned, obviously. And I think that's just such a great aspect of it. And this isn't, I think this is, like, my second least favorite Tarantino movie. It's like, it just doesn't, as a movie, it's not, like, my favorite from a story perspective, but I can't deny, like, how fun it is to watch and how much, like, how a good of a job it does at, like, world building, even though it's not, like, it's a world you know, but I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like Brad Pitt wearing sunglasses and a Hawaiian shirt makes it, like, peak summer. It's, like, exactly how I would love to imagine summer in my head is, like, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's obvious that they went through a lot of, watching the bonus features last night, it's, like, the lengths they had to go to recreate Hollywood Boulevard and Spawn Ranch, months and months and months to get the locations and create the sets. And it's like, I think it pays off because it makes the world feel a lot more lived in compared to, like, the standard Hollywood homage film where if they just, like, use different, like, random locations. And that's really why I love the movie, is because it feels like summer, you know what I'm saying? And it's not like, when you're watching it, you don't have to worry really much about the story, because it's just like you're just in it for the ride and to watch Brad Pitt fix a roof.
Sure, yeah. I can get behind that. Quality, very different from my pick, but also very good.
Similar kind of, though, because, like, I feel like both of them, you don't need, it's like I'm not going to be thinking about them much before and after, but when you're watching it, it's like just fun to watch.
Yeah, cool. So I will do another one, and that is The Sandlot, which is very summery because one, it takes place in summer. Two, you've got the whole, like, kids being kids. They bike their way to the sandlot. They're getting down and dirty, playing in the dirt. And we've got, like, the 4th of July barbecue, we've got the fireworks, we've got baseball, which...
Yeah, baseball is a big one, yeah.
That's a big, big summer feature. But, yeah, we've got the same, like, brown tones of the sand and the dirt, and then the baseball.
Pool scenes.
We've got the pool scenes.
Yeah.
We've got the love interest. It's just like the culmination of everything that makes summer summer for kids in one movie. And especially the whole like sleepover with the s'mores and, you know, trying to tell scary stories and the one kid with like the flashlight. You know, like it's very kind of how you imagine summer being as a kid, like even if that's not necessarily how your summer looks, it's
right,
like
right.
how summer feels or should look to kids, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like what you want your summer to be like, even especially now when we really can't do a lot of the things that are in this in these movies, like because we can't leave our like houses very much, so it's like it's all like escapism where it's like, this is what I want summer to be like.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna experience
it
through the movie.
And I think with this one too, obviously it has the stereotypical like end credits of like, this is where these kids ended up, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of shows as an older person now, like how these summers are very defining and they're like, the biggest thing to you as a kid, like this was like such a big moment for all of them with the dog and like playing baseball. And then as they got older, it kind of all just like disappeared, you know, and you don't have those relationships anymore. And that's like how summer is, you know, like you play with all the kids in your neighborhood and now it's like you're not in touch with any of them. But at the time, it's like the biggest friendships and the biggest things to you.
Yeah. And also it's like, it's, you, it ha like it does with the, after it, when it shows like, here's where these kids are now, it shows like that it still has an impact, even if you feel like maybe it's like, oh, it was just like a fun summer where nothing really happened, but like, it still had a huge impact on where they are now. And like those memories will always be there, even if, like, you know, things aren't the same.
Yeah.
It's very, very nice.
It's very sweet.
It is. I haven't seen this movie in so long.
Well, and then if you want to do like a triple feature, you can watch all the sequels too, which aren't as good. I think they kind of go downhill. But like as a kid, I still enjoyed the sequels.
Right. Like, well, especially when you go in knowing like it's just going to be like not as good as the original, but it's like,
It's still got all the things you need, you know? And it's got nods to the first one, and you got, like, the PF Flyers, which I, like, have been wanting to get a pair forever, and then anytime I go to buy them, they're, like, sold out of, the ones that they have in the movie. And so...
Wow. That's sad.
I just have never bought a pair. But eventually, I will buy a pair.
I feel like half of these movies, too, a lot of them are, like, just trying to recreate the moments in your own life after you watch them. So like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, there was so many times last year where I would be like, I would put on the soundtrack and try to like relive the moments in my real life, you know? It's like, it's just kind of what you do.
Well, because summer is so nostalgic that it's like, like you can get nostalgia around like fall, you know, Halloween, at least for some people. Or, like, Christmas time. But summer is more nostalgic for childhood. So I think, like, for me, watching these movies, like, when I watch The Sandlot now, I think about watching it as a kid. Like, I relate it to the times that I watched it as a kid.
It gives all the sweet moments. So my next pick continues with the trend of coming-of-age stories. This is The Graduate from 1967, the best year of all time, because we had amazing music.
Wow, that's a bold claim, though.
It was the best year of all time. This is, like, kind of continuing with the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood thing. Like, giving off the summer vibes is a great aspect, but for me, I feel like I can't really get, like, in love with a movie without having resonant themes. For me, like, I feel like The Graduate is one of the rare summer films that is kind of combines those two really well. Like, anyone that's, like, around our age, right, can feel, especially now, can relate to the feeling of, like, drifting, which is kind of, like, the main theme of at least the first half. It's hard to see behind you or in front of you, and, like, your whole life feels like you're just kind of floating aimlessly on a pool raft, which is kind of what summer feels like sometimes. And I think the character of Benjamin is great because he's so relatable in that way, and he has no direction despite being constantly, like, surrounded by people who are trying to give him direction. He's most comfortable just sitting at the bottom of the pool where, like, all the worries of adult life can't intrude. And that is until he meets Elaine, and that's kind of what makes the movie amazing for me, is because the first half is, like, the perfect summer movie, and the second half is the great transition into fall movie, both literally and metaphorically. So in a way, like, he wakes up, and some can argue he, like, finds a way out, so he desperately is trying to chase what he feels like he's been looking for, but when he gets it, the feeling of uncertainty creeps back in right at the end, and that kind of hints at, like, that the pattern will always repeat in a way. And I think that's why it's a great summer movie, because I think the themes it touches on are so distinctively how summer can feel, like, when you are without aim and without direction in that way. The music is also really good.
Yeah. I didn't like this movie, so I can't say that it's a summer movie for me, but summer movies are different ways for everyone. They interpret it different ways. So, obviously, this works for you, and that's fine.
I don't, it's like just the pool scenes. I could watch those pool scenes over and over. That one, the sequence, the second Sound of Silence they play, and then April Comes, She Will sequence. I could watch that, like, 8 minutes just over and over. I love that scene so much. And I think this is probably top three performances for me, Dustin Hoffman's acting in this. I think, like, the idea of playing awkward to be funny, like, was not a thing in 67. And so it's so ahead of its time in that. In a lot of ways, this movie is ahead of its time in the way it uses music and the way the scenes are shot. And, like, that scene at the hotel with the hotel clerk is, like, one of the funniest scenes, I feel like, in any movie for me. I love that scene so much. But yeah, I just, to kind of wrap it up, I could talk about this movie for a long time. Just to wrap it up, I just think that this is a great summer movie for me because it feels, especially right now in this year, what summer feels like, where there's really no direction in it. Especially, like, I feel like The Sandlot is a great example that you gave of, like, pre-adolescent summers. And this is a great example of more be like post-adolescent summers, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of post-adolescent summers, why don't we get into your last choice here?
Yeah, gladly. So this is kind of like almost... Okay, so this is High School Musical 2, which is in that period of high school where they're going into their senior year, they're trying to figure out their futures... And, or at least Troy is trying to figure out his future and get lined up. You, when you're in high school and you're a junior or senior, usually you are doing a summer job or you get a summer job because you're old enough to finally work, and that consumes a lot of your time. And instead of it being like this complete different thing, they all are there together and they're all doing this summer job together, which is so different than, like, you know, working at McDonald's over the summer or whatever.
Well, I mean, you could work at McDonald's with your friends, but I don't know if that,
you know, we've got music, we've got Red Rocks, we've got the pool, like an abundant amount of pool scenes.
Dude, I think that the the guy that was working on this movie had just found out about saturation.
I know.
And was like, yes!
It is so saturated. But, like, it works, you know? Like, it's not...
This is easily the best High School Musical movie.
Because it is a summer movie, I think the saturation works. Like, we've got the bright pinks that Sharpay wears. You know, we've got her big summer song. We've got, like, if you're watching the extended version, the, like, tiki song.
Yeah, the tiki song.
Which is, like, so summer.
Wait, you have to watch the extended version. There's no
other
way.
Like, when you watch it, like, on Disney Plus.
Oh, well, on Disney.
Plays that version anyway.
Right.
And, you know, we've got the music, like I said. We've got these big summer numbers and, like, people jumping in the pool. And everyone's wearing swimsuits, like, half the movie. You know, Troy with his bed on it, which is, like, you know, summer
iconic.
For high schoolers is, like, you're not sure how, like, friendships go in and out,
mm-hmm.
and relationships go in and out, and you're all, like, trying to do your own thing, but also, like, keep up these relationships, and Troy is just really trying.
He's really trying.
Like, get his
a hard
future
time.
Together. He gets his first car from his dad, and he's, like, looking for scholarships.
Yeah.
And he's trying to still play basketball, but he's, like, going through the feelings, which, like, I love about this movie, because Troy is the peak of, like, high school masculinity. Like, the star athlete, the most popular guy. Like, he's everyone's friend, he looks good, and then he also has this, like, singing side that he, like, broke down these walls in the first movie,
mm-hmm.
and now, in the
it,
second
you know.
Movie, he's advanced to this, like, he has all these feelings that he doesn't know how to handle, and then that's when he, like, he has his two moments, the one where he does, like, the Bet On It song.
Right,
which,
right.
Which, like, he's just trying to figure out who he is and where he stands and figure out his place in the world. And then he also has the moment where he just, like, goes into the kitchen and, like, screams. And you're like, you go, Troy! You feel things! You know? And he openly talks to his dad about his feelings, where he's like...
His dad's way better in this movie than
yeah,
the first
no,
one.
No. His dad's cool.
He's really
here.
Grown.
He's like, you know, I don't know if I know who I am, and his dad is, like, just encouraging him, and I'm like, this is a great, it's great, apart from, like, how much of a dick, like, his friends are.
But, like, I also feel like it's part of it because some people at that age are gonna be in the stage Troy's in, but other people at that age are still gonna be in the stage of, like, not knowing if they want to, like, Troy's obviously, like, trying to move on, or, like, trying to. But some people don't do that at the same time. So I feel like his friends
no,
are
yes.
more
and
going through it in a different way, you know?
Yes. No, I think that's very true. And obviously, like, you're not getting their backstories.
Yeah,
and you're not
it's definitely
getting,
more
like,
Troy's
what
movie.
They're going through. But it's, like, pinnacle high school, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
everyone's going through all this stuff, and people lash
oh, yeah.
out at others, especially high schoolers, where it's
oh, yeah.
like, you know, he's like, hey, Bolton! That's my ball. It's like, that's classic.
A
like,
great line.
Like, a high school boy being, like, annoyed, but, like, not trying to be, like, you're, you know, not trying to express, especially, like, his character is so, I feel things, and I'm not expressing them to Troy, even though, like, I don't want to say that I have this, like, big bromance. And he just, like, doesn't
oh, yeah.
get into, like, but he just lashes out instead.
Right, right.
And then they have that moment where he's like, I've been your best friend from kindergarten, and I don't even know who you are. And, like, if I don't know who you are, then, like, no one knows who you are. And, yeah, it's very sweet. Anyway, I could talk about this movie for, you know, hours and hours on end, but I won't.
I think it's telling that this is the longest we've talked about a movie so far in this episode.
I just have so many thoughts about
yeah.
the trilogy as a whole and, like, the characters that the trilogy develops. Maybe too much. I'm, like, too invested in High School Musical. And then the other thing I just want to say is, like, the outfits. Like, Troy is just, like, he wears, like, all these, like, different Vans or whatever. And he wears, like, probably, like, every scene, he's wearing a different pair of Vans.
Yeah,
and
very I'm country
like,
club.
I'm like, this boy can spend $50 on a pair of shoes and, like, multiple pairs, because Vans are, like, $50. But, yeah. like, he's not saving money for college. Okay, Troy.
I know, yeah. Troy needs to, I think he needs to budget first. That's definitely the first step in his process.
Yeah, yeah. But it is so, very, behind the scenes. It's very summer. Well, that's where I stand. Anyway.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that the best triple feature that we could make out of these movies would be Sandlot, then The Graduate, then Sandlot, High School Musical 2, then The Graduate, because it's
yeah, it's like the three different phases of life.
Exactly.
It like goes through, yeah. Wow.
And then the fourth stage of life is that you get eaten by a shark in Jaws, which is my last pick.
Woo!
Clicking on this episode, you had to know this was going to be one of the movies we
talked
about.
I mean, it is. It's like the biggest summer movie of all time. I mean,
it's the
movie
first one.
That, like, kicked off summer blockbusters, which you can listen to our episode from last summer about the history of summer blockbusters.
Ooh.
But it is,
which hasn't
you
aged
know?
Very much because nothing has happened this summer. So yeah. It's probably still pretty
current, yeah.
Pretty relevant.
Yeah, but like you said, this is like the movie that everyone thinks of when they think of a summer movie.
If you type in summer movies in Google, I'm sure this is going to come up in what is one of them. Yeah, summer movies, I feel like, are all about just going to the movie theater with your friends and just sitting back and watching this big spectacle. And it's like you can give them a lot easier, like a more of a pass when you watch them because you know, like going in, they're just supposed to be like popcorn entertainment. But Jaws to me is the perfect summer blockbuster, and I think maybe because it was the first, so it didn't have anything to kind of outdo when it went in, you know.
Yeah.
And like so the spectacle is all there. You got the suspense, the memorable scenes, the violence, but it's all surrounded by a lot of cool subtext that like has themes of governmental control, obsession, man versus nature. And that, combined with just how summery a lot of the scenes, especially in the first half, feel, I think it's just like, it makes it maybe the greatest summer movie of all time, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
It's a classic. I feel like a lot of movies, especially in this time, because it was kind of a newer thing, a lot of movies, like, they just shot in, like, wide, like, they just shot wide in 239, and I feel like a lot of movies then shouldn't have been, because it gives off like a fake sense of like cinematic grandeur, and it can take away from a lot of intimacy from the scenes. But Jaws is one where I feel like if it was shot in any other aspect ratio, it would have really decreased its effectiveness. Even though compared like a lot of summer blockbusters, this is a pretty isolated narrative compared to those. You know, it's not really like as big of a thing. But you feel the weight of the story because it's being presented in such this like cinematic fashion, and I think it gets us into the heads of the characters, because obviously to them this is like the biggest thing that's happened in their life. But if we're like looking at it compared to something like Endgame, which is like, I mean, technically it didn't come out in summer, but like even like in any like Marvel movie, it's like this is like so less of a issue compared to what's going on in those movies. But the fact that they kind of shot it so cinematically adds a lot to like, you feel like it's a big deal, even if maybe you step back and like this is really just like a really isolated story. And I think I don't know about you, but that beach, the first beach attack scene, is like one of my all-time favorite scenes. I think
because you love to see children be eaten by sharks.
No, well, because you've got the camera keeps changing perspectives on different people on the beach, and you know that the shark's gonna eat someone. But you see the dog, and you're like, oh, wait, it's the dog. And then the camera follows a kid. You're like, oh, is it the kid? And the character follows a lady going into the water. And it's like, it plays with your expectations so well. And it obviously includes, like, the famous dolly zoom, which is, like,
yeah,
a classic
right,
moment.
Right. Yeah, I think this movie, for me, it fits, out of all your movies, fits my, like, summer movie kind of goals and ideas a little better. Mm-hmm. Like the summer movie feel, like it's got the brown of the beach, it's got the blue of the water, it's all about mm-hmm. the blues and browns, We've got lots of swimsuits.
I mean, it's set in Cape Cod and 4th of July, so, like, you can't really get much more summery than that.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's, like, the typical summer place, too, like Martha's Vineyard. Well, we would go to Martha's Vineyard in the summer because my grandparents used to have a house there. And that's, like, summer, you know, walking on the beach.
Right.
And hopefully not getting eaten by sharks, obviously.
Yeah, that... I mean, it's definitely sullied a little
that
bit.
That is
when,
not
like...
your ideal summer. Like, do not want to go surfing and get eaten by a shark. But yeah, it definitely has...
Sit on the beach, though. I mean...
The summer feel. I totally agree. This is, like...
Yeah. Especially the first half. Like, I see everyone coming from that ferry... And it's, like, they all, like, pile in. They're all at the arcade.
Yeah.
They're, like, there's, like, the little changing rooms tents set up on the beach, like, with the striped white and yellow. It just looks so... It's, like, I mean, besides the shark attacks, this is definitely, like, where I would want to be in the summer, I feel like. Especially now. I've said this so much, but, like, it's such a different experience now watching these movies. Because it's, like... you literally can't do the things that they're doing on screen, even if they're, like, in the case of Jaws, like, it's nothing supernatural going on. It's like, this could technically happen, but as at least now, like, this is not something that would be possible. You're, like, kind of living through the film.
Totally. Yeah. Hit the nail on the head, or you hit the shark on the nose.
Hey, nailed it.
Woo!
I think we should start that new expression. That's a lot.
Yeah,
actually,
hit
a lot
the
better.
Shark on the nose. Bopped it.
And then it kind of. I mean, everyone knows you hit a nail with a hammer, but then it's like getting the word out, because I feel like a lot of people don't know that if you hit a shark on the nose, it kind of
gets stung.
I feel
like that's pretty common, though. Like, I mean, that's
but
what...
But with a kid, though? What if, like, a kid...
Yeah,
was,
no,
like,
I mean,
attack?
That's what we were always told. Like, when we would go swimming
Maybe.
At the beach, like, if a shark comes, you hit him on the nose, is, like, what
right,
we were always
right.
told. You bop yeah. the rubber part! You bop his nose!
It might be, too, because, like, I never wanted to go in the water, like, in the ocean... Because I was already scared of sharks, so maybe no one just told me that because they knew I wasn't going to go in anyway.
Yeah, you know? I know when we...
Or jellyfish.
The last time that we went to Martha's Vineyard, I think was maybe like my 7th or 8th grade year.
Wow.
Like that was how old I was. And when we would go swimming in the beach, I just remember like being... Because we would go swimming or like go to some of the spots that this movie was filmed at. And
right,
so,
right.
Like, like they have the bridge there, they have the dock, like, so you're going around these spots, so it's like, you're seeing what you saw as a kid in the movie and being like, sharks, and you're thinking about that when you're swimming in Martha's Vineyard, and so it was always this, like, big, I mean, like, this movie impacts your brain, it's, but now
it does,
it's like,
it does.
I love it! You know, like, anyone who goes swimming, even just in a pool, kids, they'll, like, swim and be like, da-da, da-da, da-da,
da-da, da-da, da-da, da-da, da-da, da-da, da-da, da-da, da-da, da-da,
they have the shark fin, it's like, you know, this movie definitely has stood the test of time.
Mm-hmm. I saw this at a drive-in this year, and it was, like, one of the best, like, what a great movie to watch. It was, I don't know if, have I said this on the podcast? I don't know.
I think
it was,
you
like,
talked about the drive-in.
It was Jurassic Park and then Jaws. What a great double feature right there. Probably the most fun thing I've done this summer, which I guess there isn't that much of a list to pull from right now. But this is a good experience. Anyway, summer movies. Yeah. We each gave three picks. I mean, I don't know if they were like obscure picks. I feel like if you're looking for... obscure picks, then just let's go to our honorable mentions, because you'll probably find something a little more niche in that section.
Mm-hmm.
But like some of these movies, like High School Musical 2, like when was the last time you watched that? Like
I watch it every year, but
well, I know you do. I'm saying, but like the audience, it's on Disney Plus. I mean, there's a lot worse you could do on Disney Plus, as we have talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our episode. You can follow us on all your social media platforms. And we're also on TikTok now.
Yeah.
So you can follow us there. getting in with the kids.
Yeah, we joined the TikTok. So if you want to watch some movie trivia facts, some more movie recommendations, you can follow our TikTok. Next week, you can tune in for a very special episode with a very special guest who worked
Me.
On... Yeah, wow, thanks. Yeah, so join us next week. You can check out the movie in advance. It's a documentary, Todd McFarlane, Like Hell I Won't, on Sci-Fi. You can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it on the Sci-Fi website. It's free. It's kind of like a short documentary, under an hour long. And we'll be interviewing one of my friends and the producer of this documentary.
Well, the same person, though. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
It sounds like you were saying,
one
of my friends, and also, yeah.
No, yes, he's one of my friends, and he produced this documentary. So definitely check out the episode to hear about his filmmaking journey and why he loves film. And always good to hear from some different people besides us and our rambling voices.
Yeah, I want to hear someone else, honestly. So until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla.
And
we're your secondhand film critics.
Yeah.